Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 387 for September 9th, 2012, with bonus coverage from Whiskey Live Paris. Coming up in a few minutes, more highlights from the weekend, along with the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and the What I'm Tasting This Week department.
Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Whiskey Cast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases, and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Let's start off with more of this week's whiskey news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Whiskey Magazine has announced the winners of this year's Icons of Whiskey Awards for Scotland, and Morrison Beaumont cleaned up. The company was named Distiller of the Year, Ian McCallum of Morrison Beaumont was named Ambassador of the Year, and Eddie McCaffer of Beaumont was named Distillery Manager of the Year, in a tie with Kilhoman's John McClellan. Ardbeg's Jackie Thompson was named Visitors Center Manager of the Year, while Edrington was named Brand Innovator of the Year for its work on Cutty Sark, the McAllen, and Highland Park. The Scotch Whiskey Experience in Edinburgh was named Visitor Attraction of the Year, while Royal Mile Whiskies and its Drinkmonger stores were named Retailer of the Year for multiple outlet stores. Lochfine Whiskies was named both Single Store and Online Retailer of the Year. The winners will go up against Icons winners from the U.S. and the rest of the world for Global Icons honors in March. The U.S. Icons will be announced at a luncheon in Louisville on September 18th. Now, while Ian and Eddie are not here in Paris this weekend, Beaumont's Gordon Dundas is on hand with details on a new vintage release and the latest edition of the Tempest 10-year-old single malt. You not only have a new edition of Tempest coming out, which we'll talk about in just a minute, but it's not quite as old as that 1964 we talked about earlier this year with Ian, but it's still a fairly old whiskey for these days, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got the 1985 here, which we've got a little sample for you. It's certainly a limited release. Comes from that wonderful 80s era of Beaumont. It's a sherry and bourbon brought together. Wonderful whiskey. Typically Beaumont, very creamy, very fruity, and something that there's only 700 odd bottles, but it's a wonderful, wonderful whiskey. So yeah, it's great for us to have those type of stocks to let people enjoy Beaumont.
And that 64 Fino sherry cask is now just now hitting the market, right?
Oh, the 64, yeah, the 64 is, it's been in the market. There's only 72 bottles of that. So it's been in the market a little bit, but it's pretty much, all gone. £8,000 a bottle, and it's, pretty much not available really anymore. But I was one of the lucky few to taste it. I know you have as well. And it is exceptionally fruity. It is exceptionally creamy. It is wonderfully Beaumont. It's tropical fruits. It's just an exceptional whiskey.
And my tasting notes for that one are, of course, on the website and in our smartphone apps. But let's talk about the fourth edition of Tempest that will be coming out here in a month or two, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a little samples of it here, which is the first show that we've really had Tempest 4 available, the fourth in the batch of the Tempest releases. And actually the first one of the Rachel Barry era, if you want to call it that, which is great. But certainly Tempest has been hugely popular. Tempest 1 came out back in 2009. Wonderful, smoky, set the precedent really, the smoky, salty DNA that runs through all the Tempest. And then that little bit of difference that you get from those that you can do with small batch releases. So Tempest 4, very different again, and I don't want to give too much away, but it has it has that smokiness, it has that saltiness, of course, but it also has there's mint in it, there's obviously those vanilla notes that you would expect from first fill bourbon. So it's an exceptionally good whiskey.
Which markets will it be available in, and when?
It will be available in Europe really from the sort of October time. I would imagine it will be coming to the States, but that will be, I would think, towards the turn of the year. Don't quote me on that, I'm not sure. But as you know, with these tempers, are quite limited in availability, so that does determine where they're available. But we have, of course, ensured that we did get Tempest into the US market under the new name Doris Moore. So we want to have Tempest over there, of course. So.
And we should talk about that, because I remember reporting on the actual competition to come up with the new name for Tempest in the U.S. because you couldn't use the name Tempest for it. But we never did report what the actual winner was, so it was Doris Moore, right?
It was Doris Moore. The two final names were Whirlpool and Doris Moore, and Doris Moore was the overwhelming winner. Doris Moore is a very famous part of the west coast of Scotland, where the tide runs very quickly and really does epitomise what Tempest is about in terms of the style of whiskey. So great name for it.
Now, while I've got you, I guess we should check in on Auchentoshan and Glengarry. Anything new from your sister distilleries?
Well, absolutely, yeah. Auchentoshan, you know, we brought out Valinche, the 2011 release. We've got a 2012 release, which is coming into the market as well. Valinche, again, cask strength, predominantly first fill bourbon. Wonderfully orange zesty, you know, and it's up at 57.2%, this new release, so it's a strong whiskey. But with that bourbon matured first fill, you don't really feel it's that strong. So it's like Auchentoshan Classic, but cask strength. It's a wonderful, wonderful whiskey. So that's a good limited release. We'll have some others coming, but that's probably what we've got just at the moment. Glengarry, we've obviously got the Founders and the 12 and the new core range, which came from after the when the distillery was mothballed. So it's from that new era of non-peated. Glengarry's, but we've also got those vintages, which I know you've reported on in the past, and we've just launched a 95, which is very interesting and very different to the very popular 94, and we've also released a 97 into the travel retail market only. So a lot going on with Glengarry as well, with those wonderful vintages which people love. So yeah, lots happening at the moment.
Whiskey Magazine also announced the winners of the annual Independent Bottlers Challenge. Malts of Scotland was named overall Independent Bottler of the Year and also won the regional award for Highland Whiskies, while the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society took top honors for Island Whiskies, and the Cumbrae Supply Company won the Isla Specific category. Barry Brothers and Rudd won honors for Speyside Bottler of the Year, and Cadenheads took two awards, appropriately for Lowland and Campbellton categories. Of course, Cadenheads is part of the Springbank Distillers family, but has limited its bottlings for some time to its own stores. That is changing, though. Mark Watt, formerly of Duncan Taylor, has been brought on to create an entire new range of Cadenheads bottlings for markets around the world.
The idea at the minute is to have three ranges, one being single cask, cask strength, one being small batch, so, you know, maybe 600, two casks, three casks maximum, and then we have a range we're calling Cadenheads Creations, which is going to be small batch blends, small batch vatted malts and things like that. So I think the first release in that is going to be a 21-year-old vatted Isla malt. So it's all good fun, really. Yeah.
Tell me about the process of essentially building a range from scratch.
It's really good, because I've got the history of Cadenheads. You know, it goes back to 1842, so the name's there, but it is basically starting from scratch, but with a name that's already there. The good thing is they have huge stocks of whiskies for me to, I keep saying play with, I mean work with. So I'm working through those and looking at what I'm going to put in different releases. And at the minute, we're looking at different bottle shapes and different labels. I'm quite keen to go back to the kind of black and white labels that when Cadenheads were, you know, really at their peak, in my opinion.
What do you think your first bottling is going to be?
First bottlings I'm working on, I'll probably be doing 12 different bottlings. The first ones I've got that I'm pretty sure of so far are Convilmore 77, Banff 76, Highland Park 85, Brooklady 79, nice sherry cask Mortlach 1991, some sherry cask Clynleash 1993 as well. Say there's the vatted Isla malt 21-year-old, and there's a few other things as well. The problem is, you know, I got sent home the other day with a whole host of samples, and it's trying to figure out which ones not to bottle is more the problem than what to bottle. So it's good fun, but we'll probably release about 12 different bottlings at a time, a few times a year. So we're not looking at huge volumes, we're just looking at doing good whiskey and doing it right. So it's great fun.
When do you expect the first bottlings to come out?
Probably January, February next year. You know, we're just taking our time trying to get everything right rather than rushing things out. And So I'm looking forward to next year because there could be a few launch parties, which could be quite fun.
And when Mark releases his first bottlings for Cadenheads, I hope to have tasting notes for them here on WhiskeyCast. Finally, the guys at Ranger Creek Distilling Company in San Antonio, Texas, are about to release a new whiskey with a Texas twang. You'll find lots of folks cooking with mesquite wood in Texas, and Ranger Creek's new Rimfire whiskey uses mesquite to smoke its malt. It's reported to be more along the lines of a peated Islay single malt than Ranger Creek's bourbon, and is actually a distilled version of Ranger Creek's mesquite smoked porter beer. Only 500 cases will be available. By the way, the guys don't smoke their barley in a traditional kiln. They actually converted an old shipping container into a huge smoker. And that's the news.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie. Visit us on the web at glenmorangie.com or download our iPad app at the iTunes App Store. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well made.
By the way, the guys from Ranger Creek will be among the Texas craft distillers at the inaugural Whiskies of the World Expo in Austin, Texas on November 2nd, and they may well have some of their Rimfire on hand. You'll also see Chip Tate from Balcones Distillery in Waco and the Garrison Brothers on hand as well. They'll be joining many of the top distillers from around the world for the first whiskey festival ever in Austin. Now, Austin's even easier to get to than ever, since U.S. Airways has added nonstop flights from Philadelphia to Austin. The Hill Country is a great place to spend a weekend in early November. You'll find great food, golf, and music in Austin, as well as many of the world's great whiskeys at the Whiskies of the World Expo. A complete list of master classes and tickets are available at whiskiesoftheworld.com. And thanks to the Whiskies of the World Expo for its support of WhiskeyCast. Time now for the comments of the week, brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker. First off, thanks to Pierre Waidert for stopping me today to say hello at Whiskey Live Paris. Also heard from Gavin Ryan Thompson in Germany, who extended an invitation on our Facebook page for me to visit him while I'm over here in Europe. He wrote, "Mark, you're more than welcome in my house for a few good drams as I stay just 2 hours away from Paris with the train. I know you probably won't or can't, but just a thought, enjoy the city of love for whiskey." Well, Gavin, you're right. I can't make it over this time, but thanks for the invitation. In fact, I'll only be home long enough this week to throw some clothes in the laundry and repack my suitcase, since I'm off to Bardstown, Kentucky on Wednesday for this year's Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Once again, listen for a second special bonus episode this coming weekend from Kentucky. The comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker on the web at johnnywalker.com. Click the link at the WhiskeyCast website to become a Whiskey Insider today.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Billy Lighton, Master Blender, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
The sherry butts in particular have a big impact on the flavour of Redbreast. It gives it the deep, dried, fruity notes, which is probably the signature of Redbreast. Take a sip, hold it in my mouth for minutes. And just dissect it and pick up all the little fruity notes. There's something that I didn't notice before. Whenever you leave your glass of Redbreast sitting there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you can go back to it and go, "Oh, something's changed there. Why is that changing? How is it changing? Is this something that I should be picking up on?" You know, it's fascinating. And I mean, I've been in the business 34 years, and it still excites me, you know, things like this.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
Let's check the calendar of events now, brought to you as always by Laphroaig. Yesterday, we looked at domestic events in the U.S. Now we'll look at some events going on around the world. Whiskey Live is this coming weekend in Shanghai, China, along with the Lagavulin Islay Jazz Festival in Scotland. John Glazer of Compass Box will teach a whiskey blending class at Milroy's of Soho in London on September 27th. The Stockholm Beer and Whiskey Festival kicks off with its first weekend, September 27th through the 29th, and wraps up with a second weekend session on October 4th through the 6th. The Autumn Speyside Whiskey Festival is September 27th through October 1st in Dufton, Scotland. And Willie Tate of Jura will lead a tasting at the Kensington Wine Market in Calgary, Alberta on October 2nd. You'll find a full calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website. It's brought to you by Laphroaig. Join John Campbell, Robert Hicks, and their guests for the annual Laphroaig Live Tasting from Germany, September 27th. You'll find details at the Laphroaig website. And while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. In 1886, William Grant set out to fulfill a lifelong ambition, to make the best dram in the valley. Today, a rarity in Scotland, Glenfiddich still remains independently owned by the fifth generation of the same pioneering family. This unique legacy of skill, passion and pride forges a long-term commitment to creating truly great single malt without compromise. Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To learn more about our award-winning range and join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
Now, we've talked about French distilleries in the past here at Whiskey Live Paris, but one is celebrating a very special anniversary this year. Joining me now, David Roussier from Distillery Varingham in Brittany, which makes Armorick single malt whiskies. And congratulations on your 25th anniversary, David.
Thank you very much. It's a big year for us, 25 years of Britain whiskey. We were the first distillery in France to set up a pot still distillation, so we are quite happy this year to celebrate this. And we have the occasion to launch a special edition, so that's the time to launch the first Armorick 10 years old, which is, sort of an achievement for a young distillery, so we are very proud of it.
Now, in the past, you had released younger age versions, but you'd never been able to keep the whiskey around long enough to get it to 10 years because of the demand, or what?
Now, the thing is, we are a very old family distillery, so we don't have financial companies behind us pouring a lot of money and allowing us to have huge stocks. So we had to build the stock year after year. And for the last 25 years, we were selling younger versions, but we managed to keep a few casks of 10 years old, and now we are launching the 10 years old as a single cask, and it will allow us to, wait for, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years, so that we have the big stock coming, and then the 10 years old can be a regular edition of the ranch.
What else are you working on these days?
On whiskey, you mean? We're quite busy trying to export and spread Armorick all over the world. So we'll be in the US quite soon, actually. And we are always trying to make new whiskies and maybe a different type of cask maturation, like Sauternes, port casks. These might be coming in a few years.
Which export markets are you targeting other than the U.S.?
We have not been very present on the export markets for the moment. As of today, we are present in Belgium, Germany, Holland, the U.S. for the last 1 year, and Canada a little bit. And we are trying, to export in all over Europe. We are the biggest French distillery today, so it would be good for us to be present in all over Europe and start making the brand Armorick known a little bit more.
Are you getting many visitors to your distillery?
Oh yes. We are open from the 15th of June to the end of August every year, and during that time we usually welcome like 3,000 people, which is quite good for a small French distillery. And we are planning in the future to open throughout the year. But yeah, these days it's not really worth it because, in the winter no one wants to come in Brittany.
Hopefully that will change in the future, because winter's a really good time to drink whiskey on the Breton coast, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have the perfect weather to drink whiskey.
Very Scottish-like too, right?
Yeah. The weather is almost the same as Scotland. We are next to the sea. The winters are very, very windy, humid, a lot of rain. I think the major difference is a few degrees more on an average throughout the year.
How does that climate affect your whiskey?
What we usually say is that these degrees we have more than in Scotland allow the whiskey to mature maybe a little faster. I can't really tell you how much faster, but maybe a few months faster than the Scottish whiskies. And obviously the proximity with the sea is also affecting the maturation, bringing some yodium and fresh marine breeze.
Thank you for joining us, David, and again, congratulations on 25 years.
Thank you very much, Mark.
France, of course, is the trend-setting market for at least one Scotch single malt, Aberlour, which is the most popular single malt in France. And what happens in France with Aberlour usually finds its way to the rest of the world rather relatively quickly. Ann Miller from Chivas Brothers and Aberlour joins me now. And you've got yet another new French release that eventually, I'm sure, is going to wind up being released around other markets, right?
Let's hope so. Yeah, this is the new 2001 vintage, which is the white oak. So this is a whiskey which has been matured exclusively in American oak casks. And it's actually a real revelation. We bottled it this year, so it's 11 years old, 43%. And it's beautifully creamy, honey sweet, fruity, all the things you'd expect, but just so much better than we'd even dared to hope.
Now, this is different because most Aberlour gets a French oak finish in ex-sherry casks, doesn't it?
Most of the Aberlour range is a mix of casks which have been in bourbon and in sherry in different proportions at different ages. Apart, of course, from the Abuna, which is 100% sherry cask. So this is a real point of departure to do a bottling of just bourbon casks. And what's comes as no surprise to me, who worked with it for a long time, is just how stunningly good it is. It's just as good in its own regard as the Abuna is at the other end of the spectrum. Aberlour is just a fantastic whiskey that works whatever cask you put it into.
Of course, you do have an advantage because the only other Aberlour bourbon cask I know of that's ever bottled is the one at the distillery in the single cask that you can fill in the visitor's center. And that's the only other place you can find a bourbon cask exclusive, right?
That's absolutely right. And I've had the privilege to taste a few of those over the years, and I've been convinced of just how good the bourbon casks are. You know, a lot of people think, oh, sherry cask is the one to go for, but the bourbon is stunning just as much as the sherry. So here we have, the first time ever, a bourbon cask, Aberlour, available in the French market. It's available pretty widely now at a very reasonable price, and I'm just hoping that maybe we'll find a way to share it with more of the world before long. Because what really worked for me this year was I was here last year launching the new 12-year-old non-chill filtered version of Aberlour, which is bourbon and sherry cask, 48%. Just a wonderfully creamy, rich, fruity whiskey. It's got the best of both styles of maturation in one bottle. And a few months later, I find myself doing a tour of the States talking about Aberlour. And wow, wasn't it well received? It was fantastic. So it was really good. So I'm glad that more people are enjoying more Aberlour.
And the 12-year-old, of course, replaced the 10, which was one of my all-time favorites in terms of an easy, accessible whiskey. But that 10 is still available in some markets.
10 is still available in France and probably in the UK. You'll find it. It's not too difficult. So the 12 hasn't, 10 hasn't disappeared totally. It's probably just not in the States at the moment because we've got the two different versions of the 12.
Anything else coming out that we need to know about over the next few months that you can talk about?
Nothing yet, but watch this space because there's bound to be more coming soon.
I'm at the Redbreast Powers and the Single Pot Stills of Middleton booth and ran into an old buddy, Jer Buckley, the cooper that we had on from Middleton in the very first episode of WhiskeyCast HD, and they've got you working as a booth babe today, right?
Yes, they have. They brought me over especially just to talk to the French and everybody in the industry, which is new for me. Instead of demonstrating coopering, I'm just going to be talking about it. So.
And you speak not a word of French.
And I speak not a word of French, so it's going to be up to the French now to start speaking English. So.
What is happening with the single pot stills range since the introduction of Yellow Spot that we talked about with Kevin O'Gorman back at the end of May? What's happening with the range?
Well, the range has been rolled out. In fact, Yellow Spot has done so well that it's starting to be sold out this year's batch. And it's so popular that it's been sold out. In regards to the Barry Crockett range, that's going to be the Barry Crockett Legacy is going to be launched in the US in Portland coming up in November. So the whole range, as you know, Mark, in the last 2 years has been extended and it's doing fantastic. And the demand for it is incredible. So.
And we've talked in the past about this boom in Irish whiskey sales worldwide, and you've seen that also with Jameson, obviously. The black barrel expression that we mentioned earlier this year that was released just in the New York area in the U.S., that's now being expanded as well, right?
Yeah, that's been starting to roll out nationwide in the U.S. I'm going over myself the first week of October. It's been launched in Chicago, and then the Wednesday, the first week of October, in Boston. So, to me, it's a fantastic expression of a whiskey geared up really for America, because we've got virgin oak in there, we've got sherry casks in there. So it's a real beautiful whiskey, and I think it's going to be huge in America.
How's the coopering coming these days?
It's doing well. They keep me traveling. I was at Tales earlier this year in July, and did an event demonstrating in New York. So I've getting to roll out coopering throughout the world, and people are starting to have an appreciation of what's involved in not just distilling, but in the whole maturization of side of things, in coopering, in timber. So they've moved me out of Middleton a little bit, so it's good. It's good to, and especially the U.S. I just love the U.S. so much. So.
Now, anyone who's seen that first episode of WhiskeyCast HD with you doing actual coopering in the video has seen those tools. How do you get those tools through airport security?
Well, I only brought over 4 tools to the U.S., which are still in the U.S. I brought some of the ones that I have that aren't as valuable as the ones I have in Middleton. I brought an axe, an adze, a Cooper's hammer, and a Cooper's driver. And what I explained to people about those 3 tools, as I explained in the video, is that those 3 tools go back in mankind's history, 90,000 years, which I found out this year in New York when I saw them in flint form in the Grand Metropolitan Museum. So that they go back 90,000 years. So we leave them in America, and every time I arrive over, I use them. So when I went with those tools back in June, I just put them in the hold and hope for the best and got through easily enough. So they're in America for good now, and I just have to follow them over every time. So
you're not taking an ads through security, taking it as a carry-on, are you?
Definitely not. I don't think I'd get on an American flight with an ads or an axe or anything like that. What I do in America is I do show the firing of a cask and the whole charring and the whole history of the American tradition of charring casks, which is why black barrel is called black barrel, the expression of the charring and the toasted wood coming out. So it's a real Irish whiskey for America, really. So it's fabulous.
I guess I have to ask this question because we did address it when you and I met in Middleton last year, and you had talked about getting an apprentice. Are you any closer on that point, or can you discuss it yet?
Yes, we're much closer. I had a conversation with our plant manager, Tommy Keane, during the week, and we're getting closer. It's going to be soon, which will give me some relief, especially as I'm traveling so much, that my day job back in Middleton will have some cover. And we hope that apprenticeship will expand, in that he will get a taste of what it's like to do some coopering in Scotland, some coopering in maybe Kentucky, and some coopering maybe in Jerez, some of the sherry side of it. So it'll be a very rounded apprenticeship, a lot more so than what I experienced. So he will have a lot of experience by the time he's finished.
And you're getting ready for that initiation ceremony, right?
We're getting for that initial ceremony called trussing, which is after the 4 years we roll, put a cooper into, the apprentice cooper into a cask, put all sorts of stuff on top of him, charcoal and everything else, and roll him up and down the shop. And I'm sure we'll have video on that and whiskey cast when the time comes.
And we're not going to tell health and safety about it, right?
We're not going to tell anybody about it. We're just going to keep tradition, a 600-year-old tradition. It's not going to be that easy to get rid of tradition. So,
well, it's great to see you again.
Great to be here, Mark. Thanks for you.
I'm joined now by Doug McIver of Berry Brothers and Rudd. And tell me about the latest edition of the Blue Hanger Blended Scotch that you just came out with.
Well, it's actually, we first released it back in January this year. And as with every Blue Hanger, it's always a very limited edition. And this one was actually limited to 2,223 bottles. This is the 6th edition of Blue Hanger. And there's actually a slightly different slant on it this time. It's the first time that we use some Islay whiskey. The core of it is actually, and the beautiful thing about Blue Hanger, because every time it's different, I can tell people what it's made up out of. And it's made of some 1998 sherry butt Glenrothes, which of course is our brand. And in addition to that, there's some 1990 Bunahavan sherry butt. And then we actually use two different Bowmores. There's some hogshead of 1987 Bowmore. And then, just to flip things a bit, some 2003 young Bowmore from a hogshead. And it was probably the hardest one for me to put together of all the blue hangers that we've come out with so far. It took me about 6 or 7 attempts to get it right. And every time we do it, it's really about what we have available and the ideas I have in my head, and it's always limited. But it came up trumps recently. I think we had the fall edition of Whiskey Advocate blog, and they had their sort of 10 favorite whiskies of the fall edition, and there were two expressions of blue hanger in there, the fourth edition and the sixth release that I was talking about, both in the top 10 for the fall. And blue hanger sixth edition came in at number 2, I think, out trumped by a very expensive old Bowmore. But, you know, I think, you know, 94 points I'm very happy with. And the thing about it is I'm always trying to create something that is, you know, niche, boutique, and something that people will find a lot of complexity in. And it is rare, and it's not actually available in the United States, unfortunately, Mark. You know, we'll try to do something about that, I think, over the next year or two.
How are things going with the Barry's Own selection range that you've been working with for so many years?
We continue with the same ethos, that we only select what we like drinking ourselves, and if you don't like it, then we've got it wrong. So no, we're still going strongly, developing, growing into, trying to sort of fulfill into different markets with that ethos that is Barry Brothers, of quality throughout, and that's the way we roll. And we might not do it too quickly, but we will get there into whatever market. We're not there yet, gradually, and you will find quality, and that's what we like to do.
Okay, thank you very much, Doug McIver of Barry Brothers and Rudd. Now, it wouldn't be a trip to Whiskey Live Paris without a good chat with our friend Michael Urquhart of Gordon and MacPhail, and also at Ben Romick Distillery. First of all, let's talk about Ben Romick. What is going on with Ben Romick that we need to know about these days?
Well, Mark, it's lovely to be back here in Paris in such glorious weather as usual. But at Ben Romick, we're continuing to do what we're doing. 10-year-old's now been out for coming up for 2 years. We're getting more and more distribution throughout the world. America is going incredibly well. Canada is going well. We've just got a listing in Sweden in the Systembolaget. It's called a T2 launch. There'll be about 200 stores throughout Sweden. And that comes through on the 1st of October. So there's lots going and a lot more people recognising Ben Romick. We've got the wood finishes we kind of change around from time to time. And we've just come out with a Sassicaia finish again. And Sassicaia is just such a super great Tuscan wine. Lots of rich red berries. And that complements Ben Romick to an absolute tea. So it's a 2005 distillation. Been in Sassicaia cask for 29 months, so you get a fantastic blend, if you excuse that pun, between the classic kind of Ben Romick, slightly smoky, but then lots of red berries coming through. Delicious.
Will we see a 12-year-old expression at some point now that you're a couple of years into the 10?
We want to kind of really kind of push forward in the 10 and get good distribution for that, good recognition. We've not made a choice or a decision on 10, 12 or 15. We're just looking to go and get drive through the distribution of 10-year-old. But, yeah, I'm sure there will be something in the future, but who knows?
Let's talk about the Gordon and MacPhail range now, because you recently did, as we reported, a bunch of repackaging to try to get some more consistency to the various ranges within the lines that you offer. Sort of explain to our audience what they'll see when they see new Gordon and MacPhail packaging and what to look for.
But what we've the old packaging was about 14 years old, so it was in need of refresh, and we'd updated our brand of the Stag's Head logo and Gord MacPhail. And the launch of Mortlach 70-year-old back in March 2010 was the first airing of that. And what we've been busy since then working on is how we implement and get a consistency through the different brands. So what we look to have is Gord MacPhail, then the brand range like Connors' Choice, then the distillery name, and have that convention in all that we do. And we've just been taking time to make sure that we get that. We've also been looking at the boxes so that we have a kind of stratification coming through related to age. So we have a finger tube open at the label and the back of the label so people can see the colour of the whiskey and get a lot of information. So that does for whiskies up to 20 years old. Then we have a square box, again open back in front, for 21 to 49, and then a higher premium box for 50 years old and older, and it's got two flaps at the front and a lovely kind of leather finish to it. And so that's what we're taking in across the range so that we can get a consistency of the style of packaging at the different ages to go and complement the whiskies. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're the one thing that drives in what we're doing is quality. That we really look to protect that, and we kind of live by it all the day, every day, is to ensure that whatever bottling that we do is a good representation of whiskey from that particular distillery. And it's another interpretation of the distiller's version of it. But for the consumer, that just gives them a wider choice.
One of those ranges that we haven't mentioned yet is the Generations range, which is the really old whiskies, the 70-year-old Mortlach, the 70-year-old Glenlivet among them. What might we see next in that range, if ever?
Well, Generations is a range of greatly aged whiskies laid down by one generation and bottled by subsequent generations. The first two, the Mortlach 38 and the Glenlivet 40, were laid down by my grandfather and bottled by my generation, which is the third, and members of the fourth generation. So you're talking about two to three generations later. Generations is a range. There will be future bottlings, but with the Glenlivet, we always said that there will be a second release. It was a butt. There was a lot of whiskey there, and we said that after the first release of 170 cl and stroke 75 and 175 20 cl that we'd do a second release. After that, well, who knows? It is a range.
In other words, watch this space.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it.
All right, thanks for joining us, Michael Urquhart of Gordon & MacPhail. Now, while I'm in Paris for at least a couple of more days, Daryl Haldane from Highland Park is actually getting ready to leave today and go back over to the United States to do some training and tastings and things like that. Daryl joins me now, and this is really sort of this is your first year with Highland Park, but you've been doing this for a while, right?
It's my first year. I started in January with Highland Park, so it's been very exciting since I started, and Whiskey Live Paris as well. It's also my first time, so yeah, superb.
Now, what will you be doing over in the States this week?
I'm actually going up to Rochester. It's nothing that exciting, actually, in Rochester. We're doing an event up there, but then back to New York City to go and see some of the accounts that stock Highland Park, meet some customers and consumers. So, yeah, it should be great.
Now, Thor is the latest release, and we've talked about that and had the tasting notes on the show before. But I know that there have been at least a couple of possible changes coming, at least on the duty-free side, or some new vintages coming out in those ranges.
Yep, the 2001 and 91 vintages have just come out. Those are exclusive to the travel retail area. Other than that, Thor is our latest release, and the second edition, obviously, to come out next year as well, which is very exciting, yeah.
And you also have another edition that'll be coming out early next year for at least some markets, right?
Yeah. There's a potential for a 10-year-old in a couple of the European markets, and possibly over the Atlantic as well. So, yeah, we're waiting. It's going to happen at some point. We've had some of the liquids as well. The 10-year-old's actually it's a lovely liquid. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that it works out well, yeah.
Now, there's also been a big change at the distillery, just to remind folks. Russell Anderson, who'd been the manager up there for many years, is now back down in Speyside at the McAllen, and you have a new guy running things up in Orkney now, right?
Yeah, Russell was there for 16 years. He's basically Orcadian, although he's from Speyside, so he's moved back down the road. Graham Manson started 3 months ago. He came from the North British Distillery in Edinburgh, and he's adapting to Orkney life, island life as it is, so he's been absolutely brilliant. already. He's had his first silent season, got the distillery back up and running with no real issues, and a couple of changes as well, a new mashing machine. So he's very quickly, taken to the malt whiskey distillery. He used to work in malt whiskey before, then he went to the grain distillery at North British, and now he's back doing what he loves best. Yeah.
Did you guys have to show him what a pot still looked like again?
Yeah, we had to show him. I gave him a guided tour of the distillery. No, he's very familiar with his stills, definitely.
I am being facetious, of course. Has he picked a side yet for the Oopies and the Doonies in the ball game?
he's an uppie. He is an uppie, I think. He's a very fit guy, a very competitive guy, very good at golf, does lots of marathon running. A couple of the more brutish guys, if you like, the bigger guys at the distillery, I think are quite keen to get him involved in what we call the bar, which is the famous murder ball type game. Yeah, yeah.
For those who are not familiar with the bar game, think of rugby being played across an entire town, and you've sort of got an idea with no rules, no pads, no headgear, no jock straps, and a bunch of guys, and they do this on New Year's Day and also on Christmas Day too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. New Year's Day and Christmas Day. It's an interesting one. We were talking to Keith the Warehouseman just last week, and he's had four broken noses from the bar, one from Cratty. So it's up to you if you want to get involved or not. You should maybe come over on New Year's Day one year.
I will come over with a camera, a microphone, and record it, but there is no way in hell you're getting me into that game.
No, it takes a very special type of person to get involved in a bar. We have one bar champion, actually, who works in the mash house, a wee guy called James. He's very successful at the bar, and you get to keep the bar if you're, the most valuable player or the one of the best players. So,
but there's also a penalty for that because you have to buy all the drinks at the end of the day too, right?
That's right, you do. But it's much easier to buy drinks when you work in a distillery, isn't it?
Or at least if you've got the keys to the warehouse.
Well, there we go. These guys do. They do. They know all the tricks as well. I'm sure even if they don't have the keys, there's a way in. Yeah.
And, of course, no one from Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs will be listening to this. So if there is, we didn't say any of this.
Absolutely. I'm not Daryl Haldane, and I don't work for Highland Park.
And we don't approve this message. But that is Daryl Haldane from Highland Park. And thank you for joining us. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Tasted some more interesting whiskeys today in Paris. The What I'm Tasting Today department is brought to you this time around by Val Blair. Let's start off with the new fourth edition of the Beaumont Tempest. It's bottled at 55.1% ABV. The nose has a nice smokiness along with some spearmint and menthol minty notes, briny wet sand, seaweed, and smoked salmon touches. The taste is mouth-coating and sweet at first. Then this big wave of brine and smoke comes in strong. There's also a lemon-lime touch underneath along with orange and a hint of vanilla. The finish lingers with subtle hints of brine and smoke. It's excellent. I'm scoring the Beaumont Tempest 10-year-old 4th edition a 92. Now let's take a look at an independent bottling of Beaumont from Italy's Wilson & Morgan independent bottlers. This one's a 15-year-old single cask. It spent 14 months in fresh sherry after original maturation in a refill sherry butt. It's bottled at 57.3%. Now, the nose on this one is fruity, but it still holds the original Beaumont character with mild peat and briny touches. There's also fruity touches of Christmas cake, raisins, and dark chocolate. The taste is mouth-puckering and intense with chili pepper and an aromatic sea breeze, almond notes on the top as well. You'll also find notes of dark chocolate and raisin in the background. The finish is long, amazing, mild peat on top of raisins, and just a hint of black licorice. I'm scoring the Wilson & Morgan 15-year-old Beaumont single cask a 94. Of course, you'll find my tasting notes on the free WhiskeyCast apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android, and at the WhiskeyCast website. The What I'm Tasting Today department is brought to you by Bow Blair, whiskey's timed to perfection. Now, you'll also find links for our Facebook page and my Twitter feed at the WhiskeyCast website, along with the calendar of events, my photo gallery, and our Bourbon Heritage Month special. You'll also find a complete archive of past WhiskeyCast episodes. The address is whiskeycast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases, and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
WhiskeyCast. proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the Stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Production support for coverage of Whiskey Live Paris is provided by La Maison du Whiskey. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2012, and comes to you this weekend from Whiskey Live Paris. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.